The weather is getting warmer here in Boston, finally, and I'm sure wherever you are in the world, you guys experience the same thing. The second the sun comes out, the second it gets warm, everyone says goodbye to jackets and sweaters and starts wearing spring and summer fits for the rest of time. I don't care if it gets rainy. I don't care if it gets colder again. I'm in spring and summer fits because I'm standing in my power. And I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul this year because it just felt fitting with a new era. And obviously, I want high quality pieces, but I don't want to spend a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and now I have a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. Because these are high quality pieces, they're staying in my wardrobe. The best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, and they even show you on the website how much you're saving, which is awesome. Quince partners directly with top factories, cutting out the costs of the middleman and passes those savings on to us. I recently got a really, really nice linen set of like pants and a short sleeve button up, both in white linen, which is awesome. And I know they're gonna be my staple all spring and all summer. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/goals for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. quince.com/goals to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/goals. I know everyone has memories of cracking open some wonderful pistachios. I used to always throw a bag of the classic roasted, salted, wonderful pistachios in the cart when I was grocery shopping growing up. And I remember always having a bowl going in the kitchen while cracking them open. Roasted Salted is still my classic, but recently I've been trying all the flavors, and I must say, even though I love in-shell pistachios for the activity of cracking them open, Wonderful Pistachios, no shell, salt and vinegar might just be my new favorite.
Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. There's 6 grams of protein per 1 ounce serving. That's packing a protein punch. Chili roasted, honey roasted, sea salt and pepper, jalapeno lime. There are so many flavors to try out, and Wonderful Pistachios has become one of my favorite snacks recently. I need my snacks to be a good source of protein, and I love when I can eat snacks with my hands. It's easy, it's fun. What more can you ask for?
I also really like using the no-shell pistachios from Wonderful Pistachios to put on salads or rice bowls. Spring and summer salads are going to be so good. I can't wait to add the jalapeno lime ones to a fresh salad, and I've been using the chili roasted flavor on top of rice bowls recently. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more and find out where you can get Wonderful Pistachios near you.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Girls with Goals with your hosts, Anne Catherine
and Caroline. Today we're going to talk about online dating, something that we've never really touched on before. I know we talk a lot about relationships, but kind of on like a psychological level, a lot around friendships and just your relationships to other people. But we wanted to dive into online dating because it is so prevalent in our society, especially in our age range, and just talk about how it might be impacting our mental health, our confidence, and all of the good and the bad.
I'm a firm believer. I don't want to say this because like our cousin met her boyfriend on Hinge.
Right.
Obviously, it can be good. I feel like a lot of people have met people that they've dated long term on dating apps. However, I don't like them and I don't use them and won't use them just because. And I also have like a mental block around that. Like that is just not for me. If something gives off bad vibes, bad energy, I cannot get past that. That like will take over the entire thing and ruin the experience for me. So I think because of all the negative aspects of it being so prevalent, if it was just like a little thing, a tool, and people didn't use it as like the only way that they are meeting and communicating with people, I think I would have a very different perspective. But that is not the case. People use it addictingly. And that's my issue with it. We're very scrutinizing both on ourselves and on the people we're, I mean, snap judging, and that's just like not a good thing.
So
I have a negative view on it, and for that reason I refuse to use dating apps.
Well, I think it's interesting because it's something that everyone can have a different experience with. I think I'm much more neutral to it, whereas in Catherine definitely like skews negative.
I don't skew I obviously skew negative, well, but it's yourself. Not I'm not like not necessarily going on a people. Rally that I'm against dating apps. I just do not think of it because they are not important in my life.
It's something that everyone has their own experience with and has their own opinions on. I think like it's very skewed based on your personality, based on like the busyness of your life, the accessibility that you have to people outside of it, and also more than anything, your usage of it. Because it's one of those things that I think at its core, should be a really positive thing. And it's like so innovative. It's so interesting. It is a place for connection and for meeting people. But I think that it can become just like another addictive social media app. I think that it isn't always used in the exact way that it's like supposed to be used or should be used in like a healthy way. But at the same time, you know, those app developers, as much as it is about the purpose of connection, like they want also people to be addicted to the app and to be using the app. Right. So I don't think that they're crafted to stop some of the negative things that can happen from it.
Like which one's the app to the it's meant to be deleted, is that
Hinge
which like they want you to delete it, but then they want you to come back to it when you're ready to come back, when you're ready to come back to a dating app. Like it is an industry at the end of the day, and great business model, surely they're making bank. And we could sit down here and like we could discuss this in a positive note, the same length episode.
Absolutely.
You know, there's so many positive things about it. I don't know, we're kind of gonna scrutinize it a little bit.
Yeah, but also touch on the positives, because there are positives and negatives, and I don't think we're coming into this episode being like, this is exactly how you should approach it, and like these are the action steps you should take, but more just a conversation about what we see as the positives, what we see as the negatives, some things we've heard from you guys or also read online from other sources, and just kind of get down to like the real experience that people have with it and how that can affect your mental health, and then maybe some advice on how to use it in a better way if you want to use them to not have some of those negative impacts. Because like and Catherine said, like we have cousins. We have one cousin who married a boyfriend from Tinder.
Oh yeah, that's funny.
When, like 7 years ago when Tinder first started.
Yeah.
And they're married from that. And then we have another cousin who's in a long-term relationship and they met on Hinge. And I know a lot of other people who are in good relationships and they met on dating apps, because at its core, it is a place to meet people and connect with people. So it does make sense that a lot of people have had positive experiences with it. But the usage of it can be really interesting in the day-to-day toll that it can take on you.
I think it's
a very different experience than that positive endgame experience. Yeah. Before we get into the rest of this episode, let's do our highs, lows, and goals for the week.
High of the week is that it's felt like July. May 25th right now. And it feels like it's July 17th.
Mm.
Genuinely. Because the last few days, at least where we are, I feel like people are kind of back home for the summer. This like surf shop's opening. It's been 80 degrees and sunny, like UV of 8, which is crazy. So everyone's just kind of been outside at the beach. It's genuinely felt like July. I got a coffee in the morning with one of my friends. We're like walking on the beach. She's like, it feels like July right now.
Yeah. And all of a sudden it got so warm.
It's not staying, but it's just like fun to have right now.
It looks at least like for the week, but it's kind of perfect because we're leaving soon for a few weeks. And then once
after we leave, it goes
back from it. Then it'll be great again. So it's really perfect timing weather for us.
So I'm all set. I'm up now. No worries.
I would also say like these nice few weather days have also been my high. To be able to legitimately sit out on the beach. Like I even got a little bit of a sunburn. I even see some freckles popping up on my face. And you know, that's just such a good thing. That's so exciting. And it's just nice to like be outside and like walk the dog outside and wear shorts and you know, just
it's nice to be outside with people. Like the default when it's nice and just like nice out is everyone goes outside.
Right.
And so I feel like you see more people, you just naturally do more things.
Exactly.
It's legendary.
I think my low of the week, I don't know. I'm having kind of like a bad skin week. I'm not really sure why. It like, you know, perhaps hormonal, perhaps environmental change. I also think that like literally it's because my face is sweating more with this weather and I'm like have sunscreen on my face and it's just like clogging up my face a little bit more. I don't know. It hasn't been an awesome few days, but I'll get over it.
In the summer though, my skin just naturally, whether it's I'm in the salt water more or naturally like hormonally your cortisol levels are lower.
Yeah, less stress.
And you have less stress and your hormones are just like more naturally balanced because of it. Don't quote me. I'm not a
No, but that is true.
But
there's like less stress and
with literally
vitamin D.
everything. So my skin like always gets so good in the summer without even trying. Found like a tinted mineral SPF from Sunbum that I hadn't. And I started using it. And I did not used to like the texture, but I don't mind it now.
Okay. I think it's one you have to use it really lightly. If it's too much, it feels kind of like wet and silky on your face. It's very silky.
Yes, but not wet. It's almost like the air dry. It feels like the texture of air dry clay, but like not clay. If that makes sense.
So what's your love of the week?
My love of the week is that it has vitamin E in it. My skin is allergic to vitamin E. Of course it has vitamin E in it. That's why I can only use Vaseline on my lips or I'll get an allergic reaction. Or on my skin, it'll just get bad if I put vitamin E on it. But I have been using that. Sue me.
Sue you. I think my goal of the week, because there really is not much left in this week before we do go abroad and travel again. So next Monday, when you're listening to the episode, we're going to be somewhere else and it'll be so fun. But I am halfway done with my packing.
Gatekeeping the trip.
Sorry. We'll be in Spain next time we talk. We have a couple places lined up, but our first stop is Spain. We're going to Barcelona, then Madrid, then Mallorca. And so that's going to be such
Mallorca
a fun time.
Mallorca
was
my ad.
Well,
really
congratulations.
Proud of
it. It's going to be awesome.
But
I'm super excited. We've never been to Spain before, but we are staying a kind of extended time in Europe, especially me. And so I'm packing for a very long time in a very small suitcase. And so
I'm only ripping 2 weeks. I'm going half a carry on because I'm surely you will need half of my suitcase.
Oh, thank you so much. That's really generous because I've filled half
of
mine.
No,
it's
not generosity. It just, it happens every time.
I'm enjoying putting a capsule wardrobe together. I've tried everything on and I've been this works well with this and this and this, and so I can bring it, and then this also matches with three other things that I'm bringing, and then I have I'm trying not to bring anything that is super one-time occasion thing, even some of my nicer stuff I'm it's not so out there that I won't wear it again, and so I'm enjoying that. And so my goal is really just to finish packing early and have a chill last few days to just minimize that pre-trip stress, because anything that I'm super excited for I know can also come with a little bit
equal
of anxiety, equal
stress.
And opposite stress. So I just want to minimize that as much as I can.
I will say, I probably mentioned this, but my old goal was to unpack my clothes in my room. And the past couple nights I've just been I'm gonna unpack it. So I'm kind of unpacked because I needed to see where everything was. I'm missing a few things. One of my shirts went missing and I have a feeling it's in your closet.
I didn't wear it. It either might have just gone in the laundry. We'll have to look.
Seriously, nowhere to be found. I did unpack most of my stuff. So I need to clean out my closet and fully redo it and reorganize my life. But I'll leave that to when we're back. No, I'm going to leave that to when we're back.
Oh, so you're going to pack this week.
I'm going to pack Tuesday night at probably 3 in the morning.
At least you've been mentally preparing what you're bringing though. And Catherine created a spreadsheet.
Every time I do this.
It's really smart. I did a similar thing in my notes app where I was I have this white skirt. It can go with this top and this top and this top, and I like it best with this one. Because you know how you pack and then you get somewhere and you're I have nothing to wear, even though you packed a whole suitcase of things.
Not if you do my
You just haven't thought about things that actually work together.
This is my process and I do it for every trip. First I write down, so what am I gonna be there? 2+ weeks. So I'm gonna put down 14 outfits. Don't worry, they're not 14 individual outfits. It's
there's some crossover.
These pants with this shirt, and then there's crossover everywhere. And then I go through and I bold each clothing item the first time it's been mentioned.
Uh-huh.
And so now you're left with the clothing items you need to pack.
Right.
And then it's not even that
and
much,
you
and you have so many
extra.
Yeah. And then you have so many outfits to pull from. I also, blessing in a curse, I wear white, brown jean. Those are the only colors I wear, so it's not even I need to pack a bunch.
Yeah,
because I just wear the same thing every day in different
fonts,
different variations. You got the color. Actually, we're sitting here right now. I'm wearing a gray shirt, a brown and white striped sweater, jeans, and Caroline's wearing a hot pink t-shirt, and that just makes sense.
I could also rock white and brown and neutral and
no, absolutely.
I just pop some color every once in a while, and
but
you
will
pop
the color. I do not. I strictly, if I have a pop of color, it is not me. Someone is taking my identity.
I am super excited about the travel fashion and summer fashion and European fashion, and I do think that I'm gonna
dress
bring
better.
That in. Well, one, dress better, but also I want to bring that
you
into
dress
my
shit, I'm kidding.
Hey, but also I want to bring that into my content a bit, because I think that would be really fun. Here's everything I wore for the week in Spain, and then, I can link things all together and make a fun video out of it.
What's your spreadsheet?
What's my spreadsheet?
Hey, what are you packing?
You'll have to find out later.
Oh.
Let's talk about online dating. At its core, I think it can be such a positive thing. And Welling happened to said that, like, she never uses dating apps.
I'm
going
to go off
anything.
On the negatives.
Like
only because I don't think I've experienced
yeah.
the positives.
Yeah.
So you take this section away.
Well, I have. And I would say never have I ever, like, met up with someone from Tinder or, like, really enjoyed Tinder or used that. But I have liked Hinge, like, in a way, because it feels a little bit more elevated. It feels like a cleaner, safer space, I think. When I'm referencing anything, like, that would be my app of choice. But I think at its core, if you can control your use of it and, like, use it in a positive way for yourself, it's great because, you know, it increases your accessibility to people. It's super convenient if you live a really busy life and maybe the typical places where people are meeting others at, like, big social events and going out and stuff is something that you're just not doing or don't even have the time to do. And it can also be empowering if, again, you can control that usage. So I think there are a lot of positives that can come from it in certain scenarios. But I also know that that can very easily turn into the negative. I think my biggest drawback of, like, seriously using dating apps, because for a very long time I almost just looked at it as, like, kind of a game and, like, a little bit of validation,
which,
like,
a lot of people,
like,
do.
Yeah, it would just be like a fun thing to go, like, scroll and be like, swipe, see what's out there. Like, oh, there are so many people in Boston and in my area who, like, I've never seen before, I would never have met. Because even if you do go out and you're at a bar or you're anywhere, like, there are so many people there, it's, like, low chances that you'll even see everyone in the room even to begin with. So, like, when you do think about the chances of running into someone or meeting someone, like, it's pretty low. And so it does give you that increased accessibility to be like, well, who else is out there who I haven't, like, naturally run into but is in this area? For the most part, it would be, like, a little bit more of a game. Like, I would never seriously pursue it. But I also noticed that a lot of the time people love to swipe and they love to match, but then most people don't even start conversations. And I think that is where it can kind of go negative, because there's so much accessibility that you can be swiping on absolutely everyone. You can make 20 matches in one afternoon. Maybe that's a little bit dramatic, but you can, like, make a lot of matches and then all of a sudden
it takes, like, 2 seconds yeah. to swipe. Most people don't even look at the second picture,
and then,
you know?
And then all of a sudden you have, like, this abundance of people, and then, oh, like, that was fun, I got validation because 20 people matched with me, 10 people matched with me, 5 people matched with me. But then people don't even really start conversations all that often. And then even if you do start a conversation, I think there's, like, an enormous level of ghosting, because you could be having a conversation, but you still have this access to continue swiping. And then one day later, you could have 10 new people. And then all of a sudden, all these other options fall down and they seem old, even though it was, like, yesterday or a week ago or a month ago.
You don't, like, really owe anyone a response. Yeah. Like, if you meet someone organically and you like, say, oh, let's do this, you're talking about someone, you, like, if whether you're in a conversation or texting after the fact, yeah. like, you kind of owe them a response because you're actively in a conversation. I don't think chatting in, like, a chat box, like, a chatting yeah. in a text message in a dating app, you do not owe the other person a response.
Yeah,
because at any point you can just, like, you have no loyalty even 1% to yeah. that person.
Yeah. And it's so
which you shouldn't on a dating app. Like, if you swiped on someone and you're having a conversation in the app, you should not feel loyal to them, because yeah. that is not real or organic at that point. Like, maybe if you actually hang out and actually build
that.
A relationship on the phone, not a real relationship, not, like, and so there are two issues with either people going in and thinking that after one conversation on the Hinge chat message that, like, this is their boyfriend or girlfriend, like, that's not what it is, so move along, pick yourself up, or people have the complete opposite where they have zero loyalty, which is just like,
then what are you doing here?
Is the nature of the environment, and I wouldn't expect you to have, like, a severe amount of loyalty to this person you just swiped on the internet and, like, started talking to randomly. But it's just not good for people building skills and relationship building skills and just, like, life existence to
right.
just feel like you can throw out or ignore or move on at any point. And that's the issue. It's not in the app. It's just like when that becomes your entire life and it becomes the norm, you take those skills into the real world and then it kind of has seeped out into people being like, oh, I can just like drop my friends. Oh, yeah. I can just like move on. I can just ghost anyone at any point for any reason, which that may have a time and place, but it's not all the time constantly the number one answer for everything. And I think the implications of dating apps becoming so widespread and so embedded, like it is the number one
way
option.
That people are meeting each other.
People are trying to meet each other.
Yeah.
It just like becomes the norm of how people exist both on and off the dating app. And like that's the issue there.
Yeah. I will say that if somebody is shy, it feels like online dating can kind of give them an equal playing field because maybe they're not so bold in person. They're not like the loudest person that everyone's going to come up to and try to talk to. It can kind of level the playing field and kind of like put you on the same level as those other people who might be way more outspoken and way more comfortable just walking up to everybody and sparking conversation. And so I think that for people who may be shy or more introverted, it gives them a platform to, you know, engage in social interactions at their own pace, stay in their own comfort level. And so I think that that is another reason that it can be really good, that it can kind of like help those people. If you feel that way, or you're like more nervous talking to people in person, you feel like you're never meeting someone in person, then it kind of gives you that opportunity to. I think though, on the flip side of that, the anonymity makes people more bold than they would be in person. And it can be used as a crutch and it can stop you from doing things in person. Because I genuinely think, and I don't know how people experience this in other places, but like we go out in Boston and I'm like, people stay with their groups. Like there is not that much social interaction between people, even when you are out at a bar or you are out in a public place. I feel like there's barely any mingling at all. And I just wonder if that has to do with like, oh, we can meet anyone online, whether it's online dating, whether it's through social media or anything. So like people are less comfortable just speaking in person and mingling and forming authentic things in person. That's definitely something I noticed where like you would expect to go out and like,
I think
we're
going to
meet
like
new people like every time we go out and every night. But that doesn't happen. And so I think the anonymity can be really helpful for somebody who is like way more shy and uncomfortable in person. But then I also think that it takes those people who, you know, typically would be able to do that. And it kind of pushes them back into this lower comfort zone. Yeah. I also think the anonymity means that people don't
act differently
necessarily.
Than
yeah.
Selves.
Like they don't think that there's an actual person on the other side. And so when it comes back to that ghosting thing, it's like, you know, sometimes I would match with someone. So many people could send me a message and I look back at the profile and I'm like, I don't really want to start this conversation because I swiped right. I thought they were interesting enough. But actually, now that they've written me, I don't really think it's a person for me. That doesn't really have anything against them. But then that person is seeing, oh, well, I sent a message and now I've been rejected. And it creates this like hyper awareness of like constant rejection, which like isn't really true because you're not really being rejected because there was like no relationship to be had in the first place. But what someone could do so casually by just like, oh, I'm busy, I'm not responding. Oh, I was just using this as a game and I'm not actually interested in meeting people. Oh, this person seems cool, but I just know that they're not my type, so I'm not going to respond. Then feels to that other person that, you know, they've just been rejected. So it causes this like constant cycle of, I'm excited I got a match, I'm excited I got a message, and then constant rejection. Like you cannot have one without the other. And so I think it's just this like very, it can be very polarizing feelings back and forth and back and forth. At the same time, you know, I might match with 10 people, but there's like one that I'm like, oh, this actually seems like a really cool person. Like I would actually be really interested in. I don't care about any other person messaging me because I'm like, oh, like they were just cute enough. Like that was just for fun. But if one person that I actually thought I was interested in doesn't respond, then like I feel rejected, even though it means absolutely nothing. Like I actually don't know them whatsoever and they actually haven't like rejected me. You have no idea why that person hasn't responded or done what they've done, but it just feels like, oh, this person didn't like me. So just as easily as we can get validation from it, I think that it can also cause a shot to our confidence.
In the same sense, I think because there is such like sharp up and downs with that, I feel like people just stop caring. It's kind of like the decision fatigue. Like, if you have so many little choices to make and you make them such big things in your life rather than just, like, taking them at face value and making them without spending energy.
Yeah.
If you're wasting all of your energy on making decisions, you're eventually going to be so drained and just, like, apathetic that you refuse to make any decisions. So in the same sense, if you're spending so much energy on the, like, yay, I feel validated, ooh, I feel rejected, yay, I feel validated, ooh, I feel rejected, over and over and over again, you're eventually just going to become apathetic and lazy and, like, bored with the whole process of dating apps, and you will get zero validation. And everything's going to kind of feel like a small level of rejection. But the issue is people don't, like, stop. They don't, like, get off the app when they're feeling that way. If they get drained or they feel like they're putting too much trust in people's one-off responses on how they view an internet profile on them.
Yeah.
People don't, like, get off the app and take a break and go touch grass. They stay swiping. And then it's like when you're scrolling TikTok and you just, your eyes are open, you're blinking, but nothing's going through your head. They're swiping, their eyes are open, they're blinking, like, they're looking at the screen, but nothing's going through their head.
Yeah.
And then you're spending so much time and energy and mental energy on, I don't even know what I was going to say, like, oh, I need to find someone to date, but that's not why people are on dating apps.
No, it's more so.
And it's not even, oh, I need to find someone to hang out with, oh, I need to find just someone. When people get to that point where they're just swiping and you open your phone and it's in your fucking suggested on the top because all you do is go on the app and, like, swipe, 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 leave the app. Do nothing with it. You have so many better things. You should have better things to do.
When I was on Hinge, I remember sometimes, like, if I was stressed or I was bored, like, I would click on it just like any other social media
app. Like, you're just scrolling. That's your response. Yeah,
and, like, literally, it would just be a scroll, and it would just be, like, you know, like, watching a funny TikTok. It would be, like, just a moment of, like, immediate satisfaction or validation if someone swipes on you. But it could also be, like, disheartening and frustrating at the same time. So, like, it can get to a point where online dating just feels like another form of social media and just feels like another habitual, addictive app and gets away from its initial purpose.
Do you want to learn a new language? Maybe for an upcoming trip, maybe to better connect with friends who speak other languages, maybe you just want a new skill. Rosetta Stone is going to help get you there. When talking about Rosetta Stone, I always think about when we were maybe 5 years old and our dad started traveling to China for work. He used Rosetta Stone for Mandarin, and obviously Caroline and I would use it too, especially when we found out that we were going to move to Asia. That is such a core memory for me, and I can so vividly remember speaking into the computer, listening to the audio, and, like, matching it so vividly. And the best thing about Rosetta Stone is that Rosetta Stone offers a lifetime membership. So you can buy the program now and get forever access to all the lessons, all the languages, forever. So I've been using this lifetime membership to pick back up my Mandarin, and let me tell you, Rosetta Stone is incredible. The way that it is so immersive has me back to being confident in my Mandarin so quickly, and you can even start from scratch. Of course, they have 25 languages to learn, and it's immersive. You learn it naturally, and you should definitely check it out. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Girls with Goals listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
I think that there's an element of learning and self-growth that can come from using dating apps as well, though. And all of these positives, like, they can be so positive, but it is always with the connotation that you're controlling your use of it and not going kind of into those negative sides that Incapin has talked about a bit more, because it does open you up to a much more diverse range of people than you probably are meeting in your daily life. Like, if you go to a specific school, if you work in a specific industry, and you're not necessarily exposed to people far outside of that very often, if all of your friends, like, interest, are kind of, like, in the same groups. Yeah, like, diverse interests, diverse lifestyles and jobs and backgrounds. And so I think that what's really cool is that, say I'm in Boston, I go to Northeastern, I'm in business, I can open the app and I'm like, oh, here's a person doing medicine at BU or something, or here's someone who's working in downtown and things like that. Like, it opens me up to meeting people from different communities and different places and just a more diverse group of people, so you can kind of get out of that, like, comfort zone pocket of the communities that you're in That can be really helpful. It's also interesting because it can help you learn kind of what you look for or don't look for in a person, being able to see immediately, where is this person from? Do they travel? What are their interests? Because you can show interest. Like, do we have commonalities? Does this person seem like they have a healthy lifestyle? Or are they like, you know, do they party way more than I would probably want to? You can see if someone claims themselves to be like, you know, a light drinker or a big drinker, if they smoke or if they do this. And of course, that's like up to people to share that information or not. But like, it is interesting because it can help you learn and discover what you are always looking for in a person and help you kind of discover what those deal breakers are if you're paying attention to what you're attracted to in a profile or not.
I think that's very short term though. Like, obviously those are very valid and good reasons, but after like, I don't know, a month.
Yeah.
Of that exposure, mm-hmm. if you haven't gone out and like joined those communities in person,
yeah.
By hanging out with these people, the exposure and diversity that you could get from using a dating app to explore your area, you could get by putting effort into like starting up conversation yeah. with people in person.
It's true. I think it only goes so far on the app. You know, we've talked a lot about the use of the app in general, but also I think that learning and growth, it's only going to go so far. Like Catherine said, you know, there's only about maybe like a month you can have of being like, oh, I can tell that I like these qualities. I can tell that I don't. I like when somebody responds in this way or talks to me like this. A lot of that is going to come from actually being able to meet up with people too, which is also like a really interesting experience if you can give yourself low stakes and be like, I just want to get more comfortable with meeting people, with introducing myself, with going on a first date. Like, it also gives you the opportunity to like, in a low stakes way, meet a lot of people and kind of give yourself practice with that too. I think that if you take it on in that way, it can also be a pretty positive thing in your learning and growth, so that then when you meet somebody, whether on the app or off the app, that you are really interested in, like, you're pretty confident in your social abilities.
I'm gonna say something for the negative again.
Okay.
You can do that by DMing people on social media and your potential friends and saying, do you want to get coffee, and going and getting coffee.
Yeah.
You don't need to be like, you can get the exact same, probably better experience and learning and growth out of doing that and make a friend in the process than going on a random first yeah. date and wasting your time.
But it you might see not always be a people. Waste of your time, though. I will say, it's not always a waste of your time, because I think that even if you have a bad date,
if you're going on a million random first dates.
But it doesn't have to be a million. I think that...
But a lot of people are just booking dates just because they want to have dates.
But I actually think that that's okay. Because as long as you're not going on every date thinking this is going to be the love of my life, I actually think that it's a huge learning and growth opportunity for yourself, because you're consistently putting yourself out there. You're being able to like have difficult conversations if you have to let somebody down, or you're getting to be able to handle it if somebody does let you down in person, not just on like the swiping of the app. I actually see a lot of positives in taking that like on as a personal challenge, or as like a small phase of your life doing that.
I think my issue is with that though, is if people are like seeking that out, and obviously there's a time and a place, and I'm just talking about the extreme in my own take on it. So if yours is different, ignore me. But when people like seek that out and feel like they need to have dating be a bucket in their space, like, that is so not true. You do not need, the things that you actually need in your life are for relationships, like friends and family, your work, health, yourself, and like interests and hobbies. Like, dating is not a foundational thing in my, like, it should not be your main goal in life to date.
That is true.
Especially if you are young, like, that is, I'll say it a million times, you should have better things to do than to go seek out dates just to have dates.
It's funny because I do think we have different perspectives on that, because I see it as something that can be like such a personal thing and a personal growth thing if you are confident in those other buckets of your life. I don't think it's something that you should go into seeking validation and seeking to fill a gap in what you're missing with your confidence in yourself or in what you're missing with friendships. But I think that it's just like another pocket of life that you have the ability to, you know, figure yourself out and explore. I think there's so much that you learn about yourself through meeting other people and through dating. There's only a few times where I've actually met up with people from dating apps. And like, even if I've known immediately, like, this is, like, not a good match, it still is an experience in putting yourself out there, in being able to get along with people and meet people and just, like, social activity. And at the end of the day, like, it's just a life experience for you to have on your own. Even if nothing comes of it, it's like, oh, well, I got practice in telling somebody that, like, they're a great person, but I'm just not that interested. Or I, like, had one fun date, even if it's not a person that I, like, romantically connected with. I think that there's a lot of personal growth and personal experience that can come from it if you're not seeing it as, like, a priority in your life, but if you just let it be a part of your life with other stable things going on.
Right. However, when it's in your Siri suggested and you're using it the same amount they use TikTok and that's taking up 40 hours of your work week, that's what the dating app, like, epidemic in my mind is causing. So if you make, and I'm talking, like, people who are going on multiple first dates every week consistently over and over again.
I don't think that happens as often as you might think it does, though. I really, like, I don't think many people are like that, because it's exhausting to keep up with.
Right, but I mean, you see people, like, I've seen people on TikTok or on social media being like, my dates for the week, and there are multiple, and it's every week, and it's always, like, a first date. That is such a waste of time. If you, obviously, if you go on a first date with a few different people in, like, a few different months, go off.
I have such a different perspective.
But, like, I just think I have an issue with seeking it out, as in I need to fill this space, and I think this is, like, my life's mission is my issue with it. And that's where I think the dating apps really, really push it.
Yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. I think
obviously
that,
you,
like,
can go out on, like, a first date with someone.
I think, like, everything else, it comes down to your relationship with yourself and your approach to it. Because I think, like, I see some people doing that on TikTok and they're doing it as, like, a personal challenge. Like, I don't feel like I meet enough people. I don't think I get out there enough. Like, I'm going to try to have a first date every week. And I think there's so much you can learn from that. And I don't see it as a waste of time, because, like, we all have time in for that in our lives if we're not letting it completely engulf us. Like, it can be a part of the balance of your life that you can find a lot of positives in. So I totally understand you saying you don't need to, like, just absolutely seek that out and fill your time with, like, booking time with random people every day of the week. But I also think that there is so much good that can come from even a bad date if you're just putting yourself out there and you're, like, taking that on as a personal challenge. Or not even a personal challenge, but just a personal experience and something that you're letting be a part of your life.
So obviously when used the right and appropriate way, not, like, in an addictive extreme way, which is where a lot of the issues either pop up or just become super prevalent. Dating apps are great for so many people because you can, like, if you want to be with someone, there is someone out there on a dating app that you can find. And whether that's, like, I know we've talked about it before of, like, anyone can find anyone to date. They just may not be a great option. Using a dating app, you can weed through those options on a silver platter and, like, find someone to date. I mean, we've talked about it before. Two of our cousins have met either, like, long-term boyfriends or their husbands on a dating app. Like, it does work. And I feel like we hear a lot of horror stories from dating apps, but we also do hear a lot of, you know, success stories, whether that be someone actually, like, got off a dating app with someone, or they took what they needed from it and got off a dating app, or, like, learned how to use it appropriately and not addictively. And even if you do fall in that addictiveness, I think hopefully you can realize and kind of, like, rein it in, and that can be a learning and growth point in and of itself, that, like, oh, I actually don't need to seek this validation, or, like, this is not a good thing for me, I'm gonna delete it because I'm seeking so much validation. There obviously is a lot to learn from relationships and navigating relationships, whether it be romantic or friendship. We've talked about that all the time. It always comes back to that. So obviously, dating apps are a positive thing. They wouldn't be as big as they are if they didn't have a glimmer of hope, or some benefits to it. Those benefits are just, like, increased options, and a wider access to different people, which, if you're kind of in your friend group, everyone kind of has the same maybe hobbies or at least one shared interest or, like, things that you can kind of get along with. And you've been around those people a lot. So chances are you're not going to be introduced to new people at the same frequency as you would with just an unlimited swiping of people. It's also obviously, like, very
convenient. You don't have to get all dressed up and like go out and try and make conversation with 17,000 different people in a bar just to find one person you might find interesting.
Yeah.
It's on your phone. Some may have it in your Siri app suggested.
On the mental health aspect of using dating apps, it can be fun. It can give you some validation and confidence if you're able to control that. It can be very convenient and give you way more options. It can make you feel a bit more like independent and have some autonomy because it's like something that you're pursuing and doing by yourself. And it can also help you learn a lot about yourself and grow through it. But when it comes to mental health, I do think that the mental health consequences of using a dating app are typically more negative than they are positive. There was even a study in a journal of social and personal relationships. This was in 2016, so usage of dating apps has even increased since then. But
100%, it's gotten like, crazier.
Yeah, but it found that there was way higher levels of psychological distress in people who consistently use dating apps versus those who didn't. And I would guess that that is hugely tied to that kind of roller coaster of emotion that we described before. From that validation to the rejection to the validation to the rejection, all in a sense that like isn't totally real. Like it isn't huge validation. It isn't like somebody that you care about like really validating you, it's and like five, honoring you and respecting you.
If it was like your best friend or someone you're like number one most trusted person in your life, that would be a level 100. This amount of validation is like 5%.
Yeah. But it feels so prominent in that moment.
It hits you as hard as 100.
So like the up and down and up and down can be really taxing. I think there's so much rejection and disappointment that can come from it. And it can make it feel like such a personal dig even when it's not, because like it is just another human on the other side of that screen who is using it maybe just as casually, just as stupidly as you might be. But it feels like rejection and it kind of feels like that constant disappointment. I think being ghosted or not responded to can feel so almost hurtful every time. Like, oh, this person like swiped on me, or they didn't match with me, or I messaged them but they like didn't think I was good enough to respond to, when really we have no idea why that person didn't respond. It can also be a huge time and energy drain. Like we talked about, it's like any other social media app where you can just get sucked in to a scrolling mode. It can drain all of your mental energy. I think that there's also a sense of objectification that comes with it. It's really hard and honestly quite impossible to put like your entire persona on the profile of a dating app. Like there's just so much about you that is not going to be displayed there, and your personality, as much as like you can write a response to a prompt that shows it, like nobody knows your mannerisms, no one knows your life story or your current situation or your passions or your behavior in general. No one knows exactly who you are just from your photos and quick responses.
You're also writing all of your responses knowing that someone's going to read them and judge you based on them. So yeah, you're going to like tailor your responses to that. Whereas even if you were set up on a blind date, you know, cause it's kind of like that would be your first viewing, like first interaction with the person. Similarly to swiping on a dating app, that's your first kind of online interaction with that person. If you're set up on a blind date, you would not tailor your answers so heavily. Mm. You know, obviously when you're first meeting someone, you're not giving them the full effect, which is very normal. Like that's how everyone interacts. But you're also not going to tailor your responses based on, I need to say this so that they will like my response,
yeah,
as much as you're doing when you're writing a dating app prompt. You're also writing those for the masses. Like you're making your prompt in your profile for the masses, not just one person. So it's going to be way more bland or inappropriately souped up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I see so many memes sometimes that are like, me swiping no on someone who I would absolutely fall for if they spoke to me for 5 seconds in person. Because we're so much like, it's just this objectification of like, I have so many options right now. There are so many people on the screen in front of me that like, if I don't think you're absolutely perfect in this profile, I'm going to swipe left. But like, if you met that person in person, like they would probably totally have a shot because you would actually like see their mannerisms and get to know them and, you know, maybe you would feel like judgmental. They were more charming in person and you would be less judgmental because you don't feel like you have countless options in front of you and that the grass is always greener. So I think that sometimes I'll meet people and I'll like this has happened multiple times where I'm like, oh, I meet someone out or something like that. And I'm like, huh, they were actually like really interesting. I never would have swiped on their profile though, because like they just don't maybe seem like the type who I would like swipe for, but they're actually very interesting. I think it kind of boxes you up because you might be looking for a specific type of person on there. And maybe as much as it can give you options, you might box yourself in a little bit with looking for a certain type, whereas maybe in person you would be far more open to just whoever you kind of feel a draw to. There's always also a level of comparison out there, even though you can't like see the profiles of other girls or other people that you're like, you know, quote unquote up against. I think you're always going to feel like you're being compared to other people that people are swiping back and forth against. And you're always doing this constant comparison of other people's profiles, whose photos are better, who's more attractive, who it seems more impressive, all of this. It's like kind of just a constant comparison game, which whether it's something that you're doing to other people or whether it's something that you feel like is being done to you, is a huge energy drain and is never a positive thing for your mental health. We've given a lot of different perspectives in this episode, from myself, who has used dating apps in the past, from and Catherine, who has always kept herself off of them and not really been interested in.
No, I definitely had them like freshman year of college and just swiped. But then I was like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
And now I will not be on a dating app.
And I think every single person has different experiences. You might have opened a dating app and met someone that first week that you're still together with, or maybe you've never gone on a date, but you just kind of play it as a game. Everyone uses it differently and has a different experience. And I don't think that it is something that is inherently good or bad, because it's something that we both see positive and negative in. But when it comes to protecting your own peace and mental health, there are definitely steps to take when using dating apps to help protect that. And one of those is probably not using it when you're already feeling anxious or down on yourself, because then that is going to just really blow up that feeling of validation to rejection, validation to rejection. And it's not going to feel good. And you're probably going to feel the rejection more strongly than you are the validation. I also would limit your use of it, because I think it takes away from the charm of it if you spend an entire day swiping people left and right and then you've like literally gone through your whole city and then there's like nothing else to discover, and then you actually like have such an abundance of people that you don't even start conversations with people. I think that if you can control yourself to take it a little bit more slowly and actually selectively choose people that you're interested in and maybe try to actually spark conversations there, you're gonna do yourself a lot more good than if you're just swiping left and right and never starting conversations because you have an overabundance of matches. And then finally, just reminding yourself that, you know, even though there is a person on the other side of the screen, they don't actually know who you are. Any of the rejection that you might feel is not actually real, because they have not really met you. They don't actually know who you are. And the person doesn't actually matter to you because you haven't met them either. So keeping yourself a little bit more calm and not letting those feelings of rejection take over you are going to really protect your peace when you're using dating apps.
Thank you guys so much for listening. If you like this episode and like the show, a 5-star rating helps us so much and just helps new people to find the show. So if you're on Spotify, Apple, wherever, please go over and do that. On Apple, you can leave a little message. On Spotify, you can leave a comment, in the show notes, and we go through and publish them every once in a while. Be sure to follow the podcast accounts at Girls with Goals Pod on both TikTok and Instagram. Our personals at Catherine Kaneen and at Caroline Kaneen on TikTok and Instagram. Those are all also all linked below. So you can just click on the links and go check them out. Merch is also linked below. It's a perfect summer hoodie.
It is.
Perfect white, summer, blue, white, beachy, blue, beachy. Impress the Impress Yourself collection.
We love you guys, and we will see you next Monday. Bye.